So, Gonzo with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, a chance to rip us off for tickets to the Sun-Times playoff party at Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse on October 4th at 11:30 a.m. It all starts. I'm emceeing. Kerry Wood is going to be there, Chicago Sun-Times columnist. We're going to sit down. There's going to be a stage. There's going to be microphones. We're going to be talking about the Northsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And there, and notice how I'm dutifully avoiding saying the word Cubs. Oh, wait, what'd I do? Oh, I'm an idiot. Why would I do that?
Will they be serving up the rotinis?
That's the double row seven.
Double
you.
Row seven.
I would, yeah, probably at lunch. Mm-hmm. That's a little intense at
aggressive.
Lunch. Aggressive. Didn't we just do a story just a few minutes ago?
We talked about
a book about alcoholism.
Contrast yeah. to the addiction story.
But yes.
If you drink responsibly, as you're known
That'll
to
pick
do.
Me up.
Yeah, I'm known, right? I'm known to do. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to get tickets for this, the tickets are at suntimes.com/playoffsparty. And I have a free pair for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. All right. All right. Joining us in the studio, Laura Caldwell, who has a very interesting story to tell in her own right about her own life, her own experience as a lawyer and an author and somebody who works on exonerations, essentially. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the wrongfully you. This all started with when you were a lawyer. You learned a story about a guy had been in a holding cell. For how long was it?
6 years. 26th Street, hold up, county lockup, 6 years.
No charges.
He was charged with...
But no trial.
No trial. So he's 19 with no gang affiliation, no record, never been arrested, gets picked up for witnessing a fight mm-hmm. where a man died. And I know Anna because she was the only person to cover this story.
That's how we met. What? How many years ago? 8 years
2005.
ago. 2005. Oh, God, even longer than that. Mm-hmm.
So he gets picked up and he gets, the whole, if you've seen Making a Murderer, you know how forced confessions happen. It's actually easier than you think to get someone to sign something. He signed something that said he threw a couple punches.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, the man died in that fight. So if you threw a couple punches, then that's murder. So they charged him with death penalty murder and put him at 26th Street. 6 years later, when he was 25, before he was supposed to go to college, Catherine O'Daniel, a great criminal defense lawyer, found him, and we tried his case. Then I realized that when he got out, there was really not a lot to start over for someone who's been, accused of a crime. And so we looked at Loyola thinking, well, maybe we start another Innocence Project. Maybe there's more people like him. But then we learned from Northwestern and the great people like Barry Scheck out in New York that they're trying so hard to get out what we know is a fair number of innocent people in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also trying really hard to help them when they start over. But that, in fact, freedom is just the beginning.
And yet you've learned, you know so much firsthand about the journey after being wrongfully convicted or wrongfully accused, because you become friends with including that particular person. I know we all went to a Cubs game one time and he managed to move on and he managed to fight to establish a new life post being the 6 years of his life being robbed from him.
Right. Right. And he wanted so badly to start over. And thankfully he's got a bachelor's degree now from Loyola, where I teach. He's married. He's got two kids. So you can rise from the depths.
So that is a
success story,
redemption
right?
story.
Gosh. Absolutely.
What an inspiring hour of radio we have just done.
This is so deep.
You know, this
All right.
This almost seems to me like I'm, this is like some sort of a compelled work release kind of thing that I'm doing here. I don't know what it is. What did
you
I do?
Try to help save the world at least for one day.
All right. So now this is interesting. You're sitting down with Amanda Knox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Amanda Knox, as we will recall, she was a student in Italy. She was an exchange student in Italy. She was living in a home near Florence, right?
Perugia.
Perugia.
Si.
And she her roommate ends up dead.
Correct.
And there was, and she gets held, and he gets accused of being part of the murder, along with the boyfriend or the cop,
boyfriend.
Yeah, her boyfriend. And then is exonerated in court, but somehow in the Italian court system, which doesn't work like our court system in any way, shape, or form, they tried to compel her to come back.
Correct.
Right? And stand trial again because it was essentially an exoneration as much as it was a mistrial by Italian standards.
But then after that, you're absolutely correct, and you're smart to notice that point. they wanted her to come back. She wouldn't. But then the Supreme Court of Italy last year in 2015 took it on and acquitted her. So she has finally been exonerated.
So this is a full exoneration.
Full
now.
Exoneration.
She does not have to go back.
Nope.
Nope.
Can't happen, right? It's won't
She,
happen.
In fact, strangely wants to go back to talk to the people who supported her, to talk to the priest who she knew in prison, talk to lawyers who helped her. Oh, you're crazy.
That's incredible. You know, the one thing I remember about that case is that her guilt had already sort of been written. The narrative was out there in the media so quickly. She was labeled Foxy Noxy, and she was this seductress, and this storyline of her obsession with sex and so many other things. And she became like this she-devil or whatever. And I thought it was so amazing because in the promo materials for her Netflix documentary that's coming out that I know you're with her talking about on Friday, she said, if either I'm a psychopath in sheep's clothing because I'm not the person you'd normally attach to these types of crimes, or I'm you. And I thought that was such a powerful statement.
We had her speak last year at Loyola Law School, and we had all these litigators crying because they said, man, that's like my daughter who just went over to Italy on a trip. But she's somebody who's also really turned her life around amazing. I mean, she wasn't given that set of circumstances, but she's a writer now. She has a column in Seattle. It's really interesting, and she's really upfront about her experience. So it is you, and it could be almost like, as you know, Anna. Anna, I think, has been one of the only people knocking on these doors half the time.
We were doing it a long time ago when it didn't seem like there's as much attention to it. I mean, making a murderer, as you cited, is something that has drawn a lot of attention to this whole process. People are like, wait a minute, who would sign a confession to say I murdered someone when you didn't do it? But then you sort of understand when you go through the system in that point-by-point way, and you've educated me about that as well as a journalist covering these stories, because our first inclination is to say, come on, he signed a confession. He's guilty, right?
Right. I mean, I've always thought it and I've always said it. And now I know. Put me in a room with the CPD and I'll say that Roe came over and stole my car in about 2 hours.
I did.
I know. And
you live in the same neighborhood. It's totally plausible.
I just found out we live in the same neighborhood. And at night, I just go and steal cars. I replace them. I need something to drive for the night. What are you people talking about? I'm trying to do God's work in this hour.
You really are, Roe.
You know, it's really funny here. In the documentary, isn't there a clip of Donald Trump taking on Amanda Knox's case and saying that there should be a boycott of Italy?
Do you know how many cases he's taken on personally? I mean, we all know. If a detective or someone thinks it's you, you're in trouble. If the federal prosecutors think it's you, you're really in trouble.
Right. Watch out.
But Trump has operated in the same way. Do you remember that Central Park 5, the jogger case?
Yeah.
He took out $85,000 worth of ads in the New York Times, declaring that he had determined that they were guilty and that they should bring back the death penalty in New York so that they could fry them. I mean, he literally is one of these I'm judge and jury.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. That's why he's so perfectly temperamented to be president. But but he took on her cause, though, right? He supported her. He called for a boycott of Italy after she was convicted.
Right. And it's, in fact, you know, I mean, it's funny you bring up Italy because, frankly, I think Berlusconi was a very similar type leader, if God forbid we have Trump here. He was outrageous. There were women who the Russian ambassador was someone that he'd represented in a pageant, Berlusconi. It's very much the same. And Italy sort of tanked with him. And I think we're facing the same doom. And you know I never talk about these things.
No, you don't. You usually stick to the exoneration. And,
yes.
And you're very active in that community here in Chicago helping fight that fight.
Yes.
So let's get back to the event. When Amanda Knox is going to be here in Chicago at Loyola?
Union League Club on Friday, a lunch. And
downtown here, the Union League Club.
Yep.
Sponsored by Loyola. Yes?
We're highlighting Life After Innocence. So we're highlighting our clinic at Loyola Law School, which helps people out after they were declared innocent and exonerated.
And if people want to take part in this,
Google Union League, Amanda Knox. I think they might be releasing another little set of tickets, but it's, you know, that's the day her documentary comes out.
Okay.
So it's going to be, it should be really fascinating.
All right.
Sounds like it.
Laura Caldwell, Director of Life After Innocence at Loyola University School of Law. Thank you very much. Appreciate
you
being with us.
We'll see you around the hood.